Baruch Hashem, we're already holding the mitzvah, so we try to go over. It's also a good idea for everyone to go over from the day before and then go to the next tomorrow. It helps you. It could help. Unless you already know it by heart. It's worth it always the next day. Right, so Baruch Hashem, I spoke to our Baruch yesterday and he was very happy. I spoke to him, his door was open. The guy was doing sponges, so I walked in. I went to his house and his door was open. The guy was doing sponges. So some guy was, no, not him, somebody's cleaning. I just walked in, he's sitting there. And he said he's very happy. He's very happy that we're learning. He told him trying to learn a few lines tomorrow every day. He said, Mom, she made him happy. He's very happy. So Baruch Hashem. So Hashem. We have a slacha. Give a bracha. Everybody should be matzliach over here. He's very happy. Fine. Oh, fine. So we'll just go over the Mishnah again to start over. I'll do it without the Rashis. To start again. Fine.
Now, what page are we? What page?
So we're holding Makos Daf Hei Amud Beis. Let's see the Mishnah.
Where?
Makos Hei Amud Beis. In, so we're going to review a little bit what we said yesterday to get back into the flow. In Ha'idim Zonimin Ne'eragin Ad She'igmar Adin. The Eidim Zonimin do not get killed until the Gemar Adin. I mean, like we explained yesterday like this. Every time there's going to be a testimony invested, basically there's going to be like three stages. First of all, the guy comes in and says, two Eidim come in and say, Ruvay killed Shimon. Right? So first of all, that was step one. They said their testimony invested. Fine, that was first. At the end, he was good. At the end, he was innocent. Right? So first of all, two Eidim come, two witnesses come and say, Ruvay killed Shimon on Sunday at 9 a.m. Fine. Now, that's step one. What happens in Bestin? What's step two? Bestin verifies. They go through the whole process. Fine. They condemn the guy. Step two is they stamp the guy Gemar Din. The final judgment, yes, you killed Reuven, you killed Shimon. That's step three. That's step two. Then, Bestin takes the guy to kill him. That's step three. Right? So, our mission wants to know, when do the other guy, what happens in the case of Edom Zayimim, two more witnesses come in and say, how could you say Reuven killed Shimon on Sunday at 9 o'clock? You were with us somewhere else at 9 o'clock on Sunday. So halacha is you do to the Edom Zemin what they wanted to do to him. So if they wanted to kill Reuven, they're accusing him to get killed, we have to kill them. Now, when does it have to happen? So Gemara says specifically, the second group of Edom have to come specifically after stage 2. After Bestin already stamps this guy being accused, as the Gemara they stamp him as being guilty, they tell him you have to get killed, then the two Edom come. And say the second pair says you were with us, at that point, then we make them Edom Zayim. But if they come after stage 1, after the Edom just said their testimony, or after stage 3, that the accused guy already got killed, we don't do the halacha of Edom Zayim. We don't kill the witnesses. Only in a specific case where the Edom Zayim come after stage 2, after the Gemar Din. So that's halacha. Ein ha'Edom Zayim ne'eragin. The Edom Zayim do not get killed. Until Rashi explains that means until the second group of Edom came after the Gemar Din. Unless you have that scenario, you don't kill the Edom Zomim, these Edom Zomim. Now, Shira Tzedukim, my man, the Tzedukim, we used to say, Achi Yahari. You only kill the Edom Zomim if they get caught after stage 3, after the accused guy already got killed. Right? Why? Why did they learn like that? Shinamar, like the Pasuk says, Nefesh b'nefesh, a soul for a soul. So the Torah seems to be telling you, you only kill the Edom Zayimim, you take their soul when they took out another guy's soul. So if they testify falsely, they took the other guy's soul, that's when you kill their soul, Nefesh b'nefesh, after stage 3. But I'm sorry, but you guys are wrong. We're not sorry, but you're wrong. But look, Barnamar, we have another Pasuk that already says, the Pasuk says, you carry out, you do to these people what they plan on doing to their brother. Which means, when we're at this point that we want to kill the Edom Zayimim, it says, do to them, right now we're in the stage of penalizing these Edom Zayimim and punishing them. Do to them what they want to do to their brother. So that sounds like, very Achav Kayim. That sounds like the brother's still alive. The Torah could have just said, do to them what they want to do to him. Why did it say do to them what they want to do to their brother? It seems like the brother's still alive. So it seems like Because the Torah didn't have to say la'achek. Rashi says
Chayam. It says Chayam. He's standing.
The pasuk says la'achek. Oh, that's true. So Rashi says that the Torah didn't have to say.
So extra word.
They want to learn from that.
That he's alive. It's a drasha. It's a drasha. They're making a drasha. They're saying why the Torah. That's the whole thing. This is a good question.
You say kashas on us at lament.
Or look, just like Hashem's own lasses. There's another positive sin.
Same as it did. That's it.
Whatever you did, do to him. Doesn't have to say the extra word la'achek. So the Chacham are looking at this, right? The Tzedukim don't like making drushes. They say, I don't care, right? Like you're saying, so who can say la'achek? No, we're saying the sin. This is the extra word la'achek. There's something. The Torah is teaching us something. So what's it teaching us? It's teaching us yes to be a la'achek. You're right. The Chacham are making a drush. Why does it say extra word?
Ruch Hashem.
There's a question not only why they have to make a drasha, but why that drasha. You could say that fear teaches you only if it's your brother, and not if he's a
good one. We have a Buddha in the Chacham, if they're like their royal apprentice, and they understood it better than us. That's true, that's why Buddha's Chacham, they do what it is. You're right. So we have a good Chacham. They understood from Ruach HaKadosh, or they knew that they knew how to act. You're right. You can make a million drushes, say, Achre below Achre, say, Achre below. You're right, technically, you're right. That's it. We're not going to say if there are four emunas, like four different emunas. We have to believe in Hashem, we have to believe in the Torah, we have to believe in Tzaddikin, and we have to believe in ourselves. We just believe in Hashem and not the Torah. It doesn't do anything. We're not going to keep the Torah. We only believe in Hashem and the Torah, but we don't believe in the Chachamim. Then we have like the Tzedukim. They end up learning all the wrong things, do the wrong things. We only believe in Hashem and Hashem and the Torah and the Tzaddikin. We don't believe in ourselves. Say, it's all very nice, but I can't do it. It's not for me. See, still, you need all four. It's like a cube. You need all four. The Zohar talks about it. It's a cube. You need all four amunas in order to serve Hashem. If you have all four, it's not going to work.
Hashem, Moshe, Mithya, Gura, and Mithya, Rabban. It's all the same master. All four the same. Hashem, Moshe, Mithya, Gura, and
Mithya, the word Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, like Hei, Shin, Mem. Hashem, and Moshe.
And Mithya, Rabban, and Mithya, Gura. It's all 345 or 346.
The ra'aya, they don't believe in the chachamim, they don't believe in Hashem. Before the Shirat Hayam, when you say Hashem, Moshe al Do. One pasuk, so there's smicha.
Together,
smicha,
right.
If you don't believe in Moshe, you don't believe in Hashem.
Fine, good. So chacham say you dash to the pasuk. Kach ezamim lasa la'achid. Do what you want to do to your brother. Make a drasha. That means your brother's alive. So it means when do we kill the Edom Zayimim and carry out what they planned on doing? So clearly in a scenario where the guy who's being judged is still alive. So you have to realize now we're focusing on the guy who's being judged. Who's alive? The guy who's being judged. Because right? In the Gemara later also when it tried the Pesukim, we're going to be going on the guy who's judged. And that Gemara you learned today is on the guy who's being judged. The person who's being judged has to be alive. So that's the only time you carry Edom Zayim, which means after stage two. So right after the guy got a Gmartin, he got a final judgment that he's supposed to get killed, and then another two Edom come and say, you're with us, that's when we'll kill the Edom Zayim. So now the wise of Im Kain Lama, and what the Mishnah said, Lama Nemar Nefesh Benefesh.
Right,
so the Chacham says, so why the Pasuk say that? It sounds like them. It sounds like you should kill the guy after stage 3, not after stage 2. It says, no. Yachal, I would see Misha'a Shekiblu Edusan for the time when we accepted their Edus, even after stage 1, Yarogu, they should get killed. Tamalar, Nefesh, Benefesh. In the Narogan, Ashi, Gmardin. You only get killed until after the Gmardin, after stage 2. So again, I would think maybe like the Tzedukim. You should only kill the Edom Zayim if they get caught after they already killed the guy. You only kill them if they already killed the guy. It's the Nefesh B'Nefesh.
No, not I would think like that. I would think you kill them any time after they touch the
ball. No, I'm just speaking at the whole thing again. I know, that's the end. Fine. Meaning, so what was step one? Step one was, how do I know you don't kill the guy like the Tzedukim said? Step one is, how do you don't kill the guy after we already killed the Nida, right? That's because it says, Achiv, good, so he still has to be alive. We're only going to kill the Edom Zayim if the guy who's being accused is still alive. Now we still have a choice. Could be after stage 1, or after stage 2, could be after they said their testimony, or after the Gemara did, comes the pasuk of nefesh b'nefesh to teach me a soul for a soul. She sounds like it's telling me after the guy is already basically dead, after the Gemara did. So it teaches me you only kill the Edom Zomim, they become Edom Zomim after stage 2, after the Gemara did. That's the mission. Fine. Let's see the Gemara. We saw the Rashi yesterday, we'll just go over this Gemara again. Tana. So we said again, if it really comes, and it's like a Bryce of the Gemara, I think it comes in the tail over here on the side, it says, the little hay says it comes around Hulin Yathir Aleph. A Gemara that says our Mishnah very short and sweet. Barivi, I mean, Barivi says like this. Loi hargu neharagi. If they didn't get killed, if they didn't kill them, if the best didn't kill the Edom Zomim, they didn't kill the guy being accused, neharagin, that's what we kill the Edom Zomim. Because we're still in stage 2, that's what we kill the Edom Zomim. But hargu, if they already killed the guy who's accused, we're already after stage 3, ain't that rocket? You no longer kill the Edom Zomim. So that's exactly like our Mishnah. Good? Fine. Amar Aviv, his previous father told him, Bini, my son, Lav Kavachomer, who? Isn't it a Kavachomer? So the Gemara doesn't speak out, but obviously, what's the Kavachomer? Say like this. If two witnesses come, and they say Reuven killed Shimon, right? And we only put a Gemara Din on Reuven. Reuven, you deserve to get killed, right? What do? You go and you kill the Edom Zomim, right? So for sure, when we actually killed the guy who's being accused, for sure you should kill these Edom Zomim. For sure you should kill them, right? That's a Kavachomer, it's logic, right? Now, I was spoke at yesterday, what do you mean? Our Mishnah just told me not like that. Our Mishnah seemed to just tell me the opposite. Our Mishnah just seemed to tell me that you specifically only kill the guy after stage 2. So Bereavi's father is asking you right. The Psukim itself are teaching me you don't have to, I would think, like Tzedukim only kill after stage 3. Right? That's what logically the Psukim would mean. Comes our Mishnah teaches me that you kill after stage 2. Right? But Bereavi wants to say, fine, that's the Psukim. But now on my own, you're allowed to make a Kal v'Chomer. Say, if you're going to kill the Edom Zomim even in stage two, after stage 2, for sure, you should kill them after stage 2. They actually killed the guy. That's his father's kasha. That's what he's asking his son. That's his question. He said, I know the Mishnah you just told me. The Mishnah says, but the Mishnah was teaching me maybe that even after stage 2, you kill them. Meaning, I would think like Tzedukah. You only kill them after stage 3. Come, the Mishnah says, no, even after stage 2, you still kill them. Come, he says, fine. And maybe it's like, not only do you kill them after stage 2, you also kill a Chomer. You kill them after stage 3 where they already killed the guy. For sure you should kill them. That's his question. So Amar Ava Bini Lav Kavachomer, who? My son is not a Kavachomer. All the more so, you should kill the Edom Zomim if they already killed the person accused. Amulah, he said to him, so, Limatanu Rabbeinu, that you, our Rebbe, taught us. So Hanan Shomi, the article says, doesn't mean review that Nazi. Limatanu Rabbeinu means, Barivi was telling his father that you, our Rebbe, taught us. I don't know how to say it, but that's what they say. Limatanu.
Why don't they tell us who is Barivi's father?
Oh, it's a good question. Why don't we tell us who is Barivi's father? I don't know. So usually, when a son is bigger than the father, we say the son's name and then we refer to him, he's Barivi's father. We don't say Barivi was his son. It's true, even though the Gemara sounds like he was bigger, but even though the Gemara sounds like Barivi was his father, was his own Rebbe. But from the Gemara, it always says, what is the bigger one? We refer to that. So from the Gemara, see that Barivi was bigger. So we say, he's Barivi's father. Right? That's usually the klal Gemara. It says, the person who's more chashev, that's who you go by. Well, the other person by the person who's more chashev. Right? It says, so we say Barivi's father. So he told him, you are Rebbe taught us. So it must be, right? You are Rebbe, Matan, you Rebbe. You are Rebbe taught us. A shas rule. She'ein ein shemin adin. You don't give punishments based on a kavachomer. That's halacha. Saying that's the rule in Shas. That's the rule in Shas. That you can't learn out punishments from a kavachomer. And there's a Rashi in Sanhedrin that explains why. Okay, I said one shot yesterday. There's a different shot. Why can't you learn out a from a din? We know one of Rabbi Shmuel tells us. Sometimes we say the davening, even if we get to it before I do. One of the ways to make it learn the Torah is you can make a Kal v'Chomer. Say, if in the more lenient case, you give it the halachas like this, for sure in the stricter case. So what's Shad and Skamara? Ain't Unshim and Adin. You can't learn out punishments from a Kal V'Chomer. Why not? Let's see what he say. Why not? Why can't you learn out Kal V'Chomer? Pshat?
Because to punish is very strict. And you can't rabbinically make a logical assumption to giving a punishment. You need the Torah to tell you that you can.
But that's right.
We don't understand how Hashem manages the world.
Right, that's one
pshat. Punishments don't make sense in the first place biologically.
We say yesterday there was one pshat. One pshat is, the Rebbe said 10th grade, that was one pshat. He said, the Rash, I don't know where you got it from, but that was one pshat. He said, you can't make the punishments by logic. You can't, since we don't understand how punishments work anyway, we can't start making Kal V'Chomer. If you get punished, and more leading to Aveira, for sure, and a stricter Aveira. We don't understand the whole system of punishments. We can't get involved.
Right.
And there was also, like, the Rubin said, this Rashi, they bring that in the Skumar, there's Rashi and Sanhedrin. Rashi and Sanhedrin says that a Kal V'Chomer was something you don't have to have a Messer from your Rebbe. The Talmud of the Gemara, they made a Kal V'Chomer on their own. So the Kohen is every Kal V'Chomer, every Vestin, every rabbi, every postik in those days would make Kal V'Chomers. What's the problem with that? So let's say a guy writes a sefer, one of the Amorim, he wrote a sefer, right? And he decided to kill a guy, and in his Vestin he kills somebody because of his Kal V'Chomer, right? Then, a few weeks later, another big rabbi comes and tells him, your Kal V'Chomer is wrong. He writes a whole thing against him, 25 pages, why he's wrong. That means you killed the guy for nothing. So since Kal V'Chomer is something the Rabbanan make, the like Amorim and Tanna even make on their own, so we can't let every Amor and every Pesach make Kal V'Chomer on his own, because just in case he made a mistake, then you're going to kill somebody for nothing. So that's why ain't Ein Shem and Adin. You can't let the Rabbanan alone make Kal V'Chomer just in case they're wrong. That's what Rashi Sanhedrin says. So here, Rabbanan, why can't you make an Einish from a Kal V'Chomer? We said ain't Ein Shem and Adin. You can't learn out punishment from a Kal V'Chomer. Why not?
You go too far.
Then
what? Too far could confuse too many things going on.
No, because he's saying, what do you mean could go too far? Because you could make a Kal V'Chomer. There is such a thing like that, go too far, but we know you're always allowed to make a Kal V'Chomer.
That's a better
thing. Well, isn't there a logic also? I mean, it's a logical
reasoning, it's a logic.
So no, why can't you learn from it?
Oh, because it's saying, because I made a rule, because Rashi, as you said, because that means every person on their own can make a Kal V'Chomer, right? Even if it's not a Masur. I mean, like, Zeir Shavas and the Gemara certainly move our Masur. You can only learn if your Rebbe learned it.
A better example would be Yosef and his brothers.
Right, Nachon, Ovir.
Yosef and his brothers tried him.
Right.
And they were going to execute him. They were going to throw him into a pit with scorpions and snakes.
Right, and the Masur call it, they could be, they were wrong. Right, it could be. Can't have a brother.
When you say then, in the judgment first, they could have been wrong. So how do you put out a punishment on the first judgment? Because they also could have been wrong.
That's awesome.
You say the logic is because Alma Homer, because the logical thinking logic is the punishment. The original punishment is also from logical thinking.
No, because the Chazal say that the Torah tells us that your latter believe. The Torah gives specific punishment. So the original punishment is because the Torah told us. The Torah told us.
But it comes from leaving, they went and they did all
the. No, but the Torah tells us specifically, in this case, the Edom Zomim, the Torah tells us you killed the Edom Zomim. When they came and they testified against the guy, you killed them. That's the Torah told. It wasn't our logic. We want to say, if in a more lenient case you should kill him, we want to, on our own, say, for sure in a stricter case. But the Torah didn't talk about. On our own logic, we want to say for sure you should kill them in that case. And that thing why it says from your own logic, you can't start killing people. You can't kill people based on your own logic. Even the Gemara, even the Chazal's logic. They say for you, you can't kill people on your logic. One reason is because it could be that your logic might be disproved. Then what are you going to do? Let's say you're a very big rabbi. You made a big logic, right? But let's say we think you're very great. But let's say in 2 weeks from now, another big rabbi is going to come and disprove you. That means you just killed the guy for nothing.
And in the first case, if you were the big rabbi, was wrong?
Yeah, let's say, meaning in the Kal V'Chomer. First case, the Torah says. The Torah says to kill the guy, we kill the guy. But let's say I go on my own logic and say, if you kill a guy after stage 2, for sure you should kill a guy after stage 3. That's my logic, right? And we go and we kill a guy.
In the first case, even though the Torah says, even if you're wrong, and say, well,
yeah, that's not my fault. Yeah, my job is
I did my best, the Torah said, that's
true.
It.
Right. Oh, very good. If the Torah told me to do it, it comes out somehow I'm wrong too, but I killed, right? If I really killed the guy by mistake, and then they come like, after I think after stage 3, I killed the guy by mistake, but I do what the Torah says. But to make my own logic and then come out wrong, that we don't want to do. Right, now, hold you right.
For your logic from based on the Torah.
Right.
It has to be the Torah interpretation.
For Misa, specifically right. For Misa, for very strict thing to kill. If it's a halacha, fine, so we'll take back the halacha. We'll say, you know what, I changed my mind. If I think a halacha is like that in the Kal V'Chomer, even if another rabbi disproves me, say, fine, I back off my halacha. We didn't kill somebody. When you're killing people, they say, ain't I Shem and I did. Fine. Now, where do we see this from now?
Without
punishment. In this case, it's referring to killing. You can't. Now, where do we get this concept from? So, we're going to bring a big price in now, two price so that so you can't punish from logic, you can't learn out a warning from logic. Because the wise is going to say the following. Speak it out.
Can you repeat that? You can't what?
You can't, for now, we'll say you can't punish based on logic. Also, the wise is going to also say that you can't also learn out a warning from logic. Meaning, anytime you want to kill somebody, in the Torah, you needed to have to say it twice. Once for a warning, the Torah warns you. The second time, it tells you you get karas, or whatever the punishment is. The Torah, anytime there's killing in the Torah says specifically, you shouldn't do that thing twice. One's like a warning, and one is like, if you do it, you're going to get killed.
When you see logic, you also call it
Kumar. Yeah, Kavah Chomer, right. Kavah Chomer. When we say, I mean...
Logic called Kumar, whatever.
Right. Oh, so now, the Gemara is going to say, just give an introduction, the Gemara is going to say like this. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to marry your sister, the daughter of your father. Which means the sister only for your father, not for your mother. Meaning you and this...
Stepsister,
right? You have two different mothers.
Half sister. Basically, telling the two types of half sisters you can have.
Right. Either you can have a half sister from the father,
or maternal half sister.
Or maternal half sister, or paternal half sister, right? Either from the father or just from the mother. So what the public says, you're not allowed to marry your sister from the mother or the sister from the father. Good? And let's say you have a case where, it's a sister from your father and your mother. How do you know you can't marry her?
Save it over again.
I mean,
like this. The public says if you marry your sister from your just from your father, your paternal sister, only she's your half sister, only for your father, you get karas. Or if you marry the sister just from your mother, she's a sister only half sister from your mother, then also there's karas. The Gemara says, how do you know? Let's say you have someone who's your sister from your father and your mother. How do we know someone who marries her gets karas? So what's the question? Logic. If your half sister from your father, you get karas. Half sister from your mother, you get karas. Right? For sure, she's both. For sure, a person gets the death penalty, the chai. For sure, they should get karas.
But if she's both, then she's not a half sister. She's a full sister.
Oh, so if she's a full sister, for Kavah Chomer. Meaning, if in a case where the Torah, even a half sister, the Torah doesn't let me marry her, either way, it's a half. For sure, she has two halves and she's a whole. For sure, I shouldn't be able to marry her. So why do I need a second pasuk to teach it? Meaning, if your Torah doesn't let marry, you marry your half sister, right? Then for sure we're not going to let you marry your whole sister, correct?
Well, but you can't logically. But you can't logically conclude that.
Oh, so I would think so. Oh, so you would think so. Since I can't, but I have a braisa that teaches me. Oh, very good. So I have the braisa that's going to tell me, you need a third pasuk to teach me.
Right.
You can't marry a sister from both.
Full sister.
A full sister. So what do we see from here? We learn from here. You can't ain't Aichim and Adin. You can't learn punishments from logic. Because if you'd be able to learn punishments off of logic, right? So it's logic. If you can't marry your half sister or the mother, half sister or your father. For sure, if it's both, you can't marry her.
You know why?
Because
logic can be twisted.
Yeah, but
the logic that got Yosef's brother to put him.
Nachon, but the question is, Gemara Chazal are allowed to make Kavah Chomer. They're allowed to make Kavah Chomer. Here the Gemara is saying the Rabbanan didn't give them the power to make Kavah Chomer based on logic by Misa. When we always rely on the Chacham's logic, always, the whole Gemara, that's when we have Buddhist Chacham, we're relying on their logic. So why over here, all of a sudden, by ancient, don't we rely on their logic? So that's the Chiddush. For this, we're not relying on Chazal. But our logic never relies on anything. My logic don't rely on anything. Saying,
this Bryce also shows us that there is no room for a Kavah Chomer if you want it to.
Oh, so Nachon, we see from here you're not letting
it. You can't even use it.
You can't use it. Nachon, you can't
in this case, that's not what he's saying. It's saying like this. It's saying you see over here that we don't give you the room.
There is no room, but you look by other omshim. There probably is no room either from here.
We've already been given room to make it.
Right.
There's no room. Nachon, we don't give. And we need a pasuk to show. Because why are we bring you a pasuk to show you there's no room for you? Nachon,
right.
We don't want your logic here. Usually, we like
where there's where there may be something understanding lacking.
Nachon,
no room here.
Nachon, there's nothing. Yeah, but let's say you have a case where there's no pasuk.
No way.
Like in our case, let's say you have a case where there is room to make a. This pasuk is showing me in this case, how do you? There's no room for logic. Let's say you have a case where there is room for logic.
Where?
Let's say in our case, in our Mishnah, if you're gonna kill a guy after stage two,
right.
For sure you should kill it after stage three.
But now you're saying there is room for logic.
There is room for
logic. Well, so there is room for logic. That's how we go with Nefesh
B'Nefesh. From here, you learn from there.
That's why we have to learn from these.
No, you said not to the Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Even when there is room for logic, and on Shem
B'Nefesh. No, because if you put in Nefesh B'Nefesh, if you use the bus in Nefesh B'Nefesh, then you can't use the logic of Kavah Chomer.
You could, because why not? Because we said.
Oh, the Achiv, that's Achiv.
Yeah, but Achiv announced. Achiv told me a specific, even, but right.
Achiv is teaching us that there's no room for.
No, because over here it's stuck. That's what we said. Even if he said Achiv, that Achiv tells me specifically after stage two you get killed. But maybe
but
also.
Achiv's telling not after stage two. Achiv's telling you that it has to be alive.
No, so that's then Barivi wouldn't have a kasha. Then Barivi's question doesn't start. Brevi's saying, make a kavachar mer, I'll tell him, Brevi, we just learned, Brevi's father, we just had a Mishnah now.
Right.
He understood the Mishnah is telling you, achrev means he wants to, that's how you do the right way to learn the Mishnah. You're saying the Mishnah the right way, that's how we learn.
Right.
It means only a stage two. He was saying, maybe, twist it a little bit, maybe it means stage two, and even stage three.
He's throwing out the logic of the.
No, he's not, because he's saying, maybe the Torah is telling me achrev, the Torah's point is, you would think it's only stage three.
Right.
Torah's telling you, no, it's stage two. But not the exclusion of stage three.
Include the Achiv is included.
Including, because make a Kavu Karmic also, meaning that's how he wants them. Then he's wrong, it ends red, 100%. We're only going to say stage two, and that was the. Yes?
Yeah, the Achiv means, you're saying that it's really understood, maybe to be dead?
No, Achiv means for sure stage two, he's still alive.
Not understand.
No, but that's the Hatara's halacha. Hatara's halacha is at stage after stage two. But now my own, I'm going to make a Kavu Karmic. Meaning he was learning, the Hatara said Achiv, it means even stage two. Not only after stage three, you kill the guy. You kill the guy after stage three, and also after stage
two. He's alive. Gemar Din means he's still alive.
Wait, I understand that. You kill the game some of them after stage three?
Maybe that's what he wants to. His father wants to say.
How do you figure that out?
It's from a Kavu Karmic. If you can kill the Torah says after stage two, because he's still alive. So if you kill him after stage two, Kavu Karmic is stage three. And that we say, it's a very nice Kavu Karmic, but you forgot the rule. The rule is, when it comes to Einshim, you can't do Kavu Karmic. So that's why you're not. You're saying nice things. You're saying nice Vartaras. But we have a rule against you. Say, fine.
I think the whole point of the brass coming to show us this is because where there is room for Kavu Karmic, it's also
not used. So we're telling you, even.
Even
in our case, where there is room.
Even where there is room for
Kavu Karmic, good. Fine. So now let's try to see this Gemara inside before we melt. Fine, so let's see inside. Let's see this Gemara inside. So let's see this Gemara on the second line of the Gemara. What he's saying, Matanu Rabbeinu, you are Rabbi Toros, She'ein Einshim and Adin. You don't get punishment from a Kavu Karmic. The Tani we learned in the Brice, so what does the Brice say? The Tani we learned in the Brice. So we're holding now the third line of the Gemara. Ish Ashayika Esachaisa. A man who takes his sister, Fas Abid, which is the daughter of his father, which means it's his sister from the father, Oy, or only Bas Iman, right? Either just the daughter of his father, or just the daughter of his mother. That's what the Pasuk says. So, Ainli, Ella, there's not to me only the case of Bas Abid, what's the daughter of your father, Shaloi Bas Iman, who's not the daughter of your mother, she's only your sister from the father, Ubas Iman. Or someone who's a daughter for your mother. Shalobas Avid, who's not the daughter of your father. She's only your half-sister. Bas Iman Ubas Avid Minai. This person who's a daughter of your father and the daughter of your mother, how do you know that if you marry her, you get Karis? Tapa Laimar, Pazit comes to teach me. Arbas Achaisa Gila. It says the extra time in the Pasuk Achaisa, your sister again in the Pasuk. So Ad Shalom Yaimar. Until you didn't tell it to me, meaning even before the pasuk says this extra word achaisai, yesh say this to me. But then I know from a kavu chaimer. What im anashal karas? If a person gets the punishment, im anash. If a person gets punished, al bas aviv, the daughter of the father, shaloi bas imai, who is not the daughter of your mother, ubas imai, shaloi bas aviv, the daughter of your mother, who is not the daughter of your father, just a half sister. Either way, you get karas for marrying her. Bas Aviv Ubas Imai, like Kal Shekain, the daughter of your father and the daughter of your mother, all the more so, isn't it? Kal Shekain, all the more so, it should be that you're not allowed to marry her and you'll get Karis. So, Halamadata, this teaches you, She'ein Einchim in Adin. You can't learn out punishments from a Kalachan. That's this Gemara. And now, fine, so just, it's important, whoever has fancy Gemara, you'll see. On the side of your Gemaras, you'll see the pasuk of Fine. Anybody who has a Zvahadu Gemara should be on the pasuk on the right on one of the side of the Gemara. Vayikra Chaf Yudzayin. Whoever has a fancy Gemara, you'll see it's pasuk, should be pasuk Gimel. On the right side of the Gemara, whoever has fancy Gemaras, you'll see by the Gimel, by the pasuk, and there's called Tar Arashal, and the Gemaras do us a favor to bring down the pasuk in these fancy Gemaras. So you can look at the pasuk over there. You see the pasuk, what does the pasuk say? It's Vayikra Chaf Yudzayin. You have a Reuven in your Gemara? It says, by the Ish Asher Yikach Es HaChayson, a man who takes his sister, Bas Aviv, Oy Bas Ima. That's where it says, either the daughter of the father, just of your father, or the daughter of your mother. Right? Then it says, Barasar Vasa, Yitrasar Vasa, Chazu, Venusu, Levne Amam. Then what does the end of the pasuk say? Again, it says, Erbas Achoysa Gila. So the Torah says again, the Erba of his sister you reveal. So why do you have to speak that time, extra time again? You reveal that the nakedness of your sister. So that teaches me, even when she's a sister for your mother and your father, that's also chayiv karas.
So you don't need a kofar kofar. This eliminates the fact that you have logic kofar kofar, because it's telling you app, or even four.
Nachon, perfect. So
this is summarizing. There, you don't have to even think that it could be this or that.
Right, and that's the source where we learn this halacha from. This is where we know this halacha from. This, for us, this is the source where we know that ain't oichim and adin, there's no oichim and this. You can see the fancy words. The pesuk is very clear. So the daughter of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, and then Ebbets HaChayitzah Gila. Fine. That is this Gemara of referring to Ein Shemed. Now, our Gemara doesn't want to leave us hanging. Once you brought that half this price, so we bring down the whole Gemara. Right? This was a quote from a Gemara in Sanhedrin or something. What? Where's it from? Kulin. So now we bring the rest of this Gemara. So now, what does this Gemara say? Ein Shemani. I heard that you can't learn how to understand punishment from a Kal V'chomer. Ashara minayin. From where do I know that you can't learn out a warning also from a Kal V'chomer? Meaning like this. In order for a person to be chayav any punishment in the Torah has to say that punish, has to say it twice. Once is to warn a person not to do it. It's like, first, like a warning sign. The second time the Torah is saying, don't do it. If you do it, you'll get karas. Right? So now, you told me that I can't learn out a punishment from a Kal V'chomer. What about Azhar? I mean, let's say like this. Let's say the Torah gives me a warning. You're not allowed to marry a half-sister. Right? Could I learn out from a Kal V'chomer that the Torah means to warn me on a whole sister? I mean like this. In order to tell me you can't marry a half-sister, I need one time the Torah to warn me, don't marry a half-sister. And then also tell me if you marry a half-sister, you get karas. Two things. Right? The Torah has to warn me and tell me you get karas. Now, could I use the warning from a half sister for a whole sister?
Couldn't use it on an onus, but I could use it
for a. So you need a source. If it's an onus, you tell me the punishment itself is very strict. You can't learn that out of a Kal V'chomer. Maybe the warning itself. You could learn out of a Kal V'chomer, maybe, right?
I think.
You would think maybe, right?
You see, the first part of the two parts of the warning, you can learn from a Kal V'chomer.
Could you do that? That's the one I want to know now.
Versus.
So you're telling the punishment itself to tell you you get cursed when you marry your full sister.
That's one of them.
That you can't learn out of Kal V'chomer. You need a puzzle to tell me you can't marry a half sister, and to tell me a whole sister. Good. What about the warning? Well, there could be a warning. Don't marry your half sister, right? Do I need two warnings also? Maybe you can just tell me don't marry a half sister. Now I'm already forewarned. Don't marry a whole sister, right? So that's the warning. What it says, Ayin Shemayim, sorry me now. How do we know you can't even learn a Kal V'chomer for the warning? For the warning, also you can't learn a Kal V'chomer. Tamal Leimer tells us again the same pasuk by marrying a sister. Erbas Achaisa, the erba of your sister. Bas Avicha, Oy Bas Imecha. You're not allowed to marry your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother. Eli Ella, I only have only Bas Aviv Shaloy Bas Ima. If it's the daughter of your father, who's not the daughter of your mother. Ubas Ima Shaloy Bas Aviv. The daughter of your mother, who's not the daughter of your father. Bas Avav Bas Iva Minayin. Tamul Leimer, have an extra pasuk. Erbas Bas Eishes Avicha. Haladis Avicha Chaytzayin. It's an extra pasuk again. A whole extra pasuk teaching me that you can't marry a full sister either. So in the warning also we see the Torah did this. So warning, don't marry half sister, right? So maybe logically you would say for sure don't marry a whole sister. No, I can't use my logic. I need a Torah to warn me again. Tell me you can't marry a whole sister. So Achelon Yemag, the Gemara is doing the same exact thing we did in the last Gemara. Even before you told it to me that you can't, you even before you warned me to marry a whole sister, Yeshim Binan, did I know it from a Kal V'chomer? Ma'am Huzer, if you're warned, Al Bas Imay, on the daughter of your mother, Shalai Bas Aviv, who's not the daughter of your father, Ubas Aviv, the daughter of your father, Shalai Bas Imay, Bas Aviv, Bas Imay, Lakal Shekain, someone who's the daughter of your mother, and the daughter of your mother and of your father, isn't it all the more so, isn't it certain that you're being warned not to marry her? Halamata, this teaches us, She'in mas hearing minatim. You can't be warned also, the Azhara, also, the warning also can't be learned out of a Kavachar. So again, Agamara wants, saying like this, every Torah wants to give you a punishment, it needs to warn you and give you a punishment. Said it twice, right? Gemara is saying, neither of them can be learned out of a Kavachar, which means like this, the Torah warns you, don't marry a half sister, right? I need it again to warn me not to marry a whole sister. I can't just say, oh, it's logic. If you're warning me not to marry a half-sister, for sure a whole-sister, you can't rely on logic. Also in the punishment. The Torah warns me, if you marry your half-sister, you get karis. You can't just say, oh, it's logic. If you marry your whole-sister, you get karis. We need the Torah to speak it out. So our Gemara says, in the warning and in the einish, you can't learn it from a kalachar. It's called ein ein shimin adin. You can't learn at the einish. Ein mazhirin. Mazhirin is the azhara, the warning. Can't learn out, you learn out a warning from a Kal V'chomer. Tomorrow, try to go with this tomorrow again, and then we'll go to the next one.
Okay.